Good morning, everyone. I'm Ken Smales reporting. The county commissioners are receiving $500,000 to fund storm sewers and catch basins in the South 6th Street Cemetery Drive area of Tuscarawas Township. The Community Development Block Grant was one of 15 awarded in the state. This past June, the commissioners applied for the Critical Infrastructure Grant on behalf of the township to replace and install about 3,000 feet of 12-inch and 18-inch storm sewer lines and 27 catch basins. The project also includes a headwall. Officials say residents living in the area are 88% low to moderate income, which qualified the application for assistance. 39 grant requests were submitted to the state from around Ohio. A Coshocton man has been sentenced to prison on two separate cases. 35-year-old Daniel Wise of North 11th Street has been sentenced by Judge Robert J. Batchelor to 10 years on drug trafficking charges and for failing to comply with the signal of a police officer. He was sentenced to 6 years on a second-degree felony of trafficking in cocaine and trafficking in heroin, a third-degree felony of aggravated trafficking in drugs, and a fifth-degree felony of trafficking in drugs for distribution. County Prosecutor Jason Gibbons says Wise also was ordered to forfeit $728 and a 2001 Buick Regal. Wise will also have to serve 3 years of post-release control sanctions and have his driver's license suspended for 5 years. Also from Common Pleas Court, 39-year-old Dusty Baker of Port Washington must pay $225 restitution to Dean's Jewelry for a fifth-degree felony count of receiving stolen property. Gibbons says Baker stole jewelry from a woman and then sold it to Dean's Jewelry in Coshocton. Baker's been ordered to serve 3 years of community control in order to pay restitution. 28-year-old Jacqueline Massey of Zanesville has been sentenced to 17 months in prison to be served concurrently on two fourth-degree felony counts of trafficking in methamphetamine. A Newcomerstown woman sentenced to 3 years of community control on four drug charges. 28-year-old Brittany Williams has been sentenced on three fifth-degree felony counts of drug possession, meth, heroin, and a Schedule II drug, and a first-degree misdemeanor on a Schedule IV prescription drug. And Ronnie Mitchell of New York has been placed on community control sanctions for 3 years for three fifth-degree felony counts of non-supportive dependence. Mitchell is in arrearages of more than $33,000. The Sheriff's Office reports four complaints investigated yesterday. Dawn Hannes of Newcomerstown reported violation of a protection order. Sean Glazier reported that Dr. Thomas Magnus's office had been broken into. Kimberly Insurance reported that business had been broken into. Keith Peachy of Coshocton reported someone stole a bow and rifle from his vehicle. From the West Lafayette Police, officers received report of a theft from the 400 block of North Oak Street. Officers responded to the 100 block of West Main on a reported accident, just minor injuries. And officers received a report of a theft from the Circle K. Upon investigation, Timothy Newland Jr. of Newark was arrested and charged. Ohio State Highway Patrol and state police from two adjacent states are collaborating this weekend along Interstate 70 on focused enforcement of laws related to speeding, safety, and operating vehicles impaired. The enforcement effort that began at 12:01 after midnight this morning will continue through the weekend, ending at 11:59 on Sunday. It also includes state police from Indiana and Pennsylvania. Sharing child support and public assistance information between counties is becoming easier at Coshocton County Job and Family Services. The county commissioners have approved a contract with Northwood Consulting Partners to transfer document images from the county system to a document management system operated by the state. JFS Director Danny Brenneman says 82 of Ohio's 88 counties have followed suit.
We currently spend a lot of our agency staff administrative time pulling documents, scanning documents back in, either physically sending and receiving or electronic pulling and sending and receiving documents within other counties in the state. This will, in essence, actually allow another county access to records that are being held in Coshocton County's database to the extent that the law allows for that sharing of information.
Northwood will be transitioning all the old records to the online system, which Brenneman estimates to be 1.2 million pages worth. He says the $21,000 lump sum contract was less expensive than a per-page alternative.
The document move should be by the first quarter of 2019, unless they run into, you know, issues, which with these things they usually do run into to some barriers. But we expect it to be a pretty fast track.
Current documentation and that generated into the future are being put directly into the state system. Thanks for joining me. I'm Ken Smales reporting.
It is 5 minutes after 9 o'clock and 46 degrees currently in Coshocton. Fall is here. And it was, 2 days ago? I think it was 70 degrees at this time. No, it was yesterday morning. I came in and it was 70 degrees outside, and now it's 46. So starting to feel like fall. In fact, we are going to talk a little bit about the fall colors and the fall foliage tour here in just a little bit. We have the Master Gardeners here in the studio with us as well. David Marison here from the Extension Office, and also Jandy Adams, Rita Grewell, and Bob Big Rig. The Master Gardeners are with us, and good morning all. Thank you for being here with us today.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, some housekeeping here. Jandy, are you and Bob, are you officially Master Gardeners yet?
Well, I haven't been officially anointed, I guess. So I have actually gotten my volunteer hours, and so I'm unofficially official, I guess, okay, as a Master Gardener.
How would you characterize it, Bob?
Well, from my standpoint, Mike, okay, I still need hours, okay, to get through. So I'm still technically an intern, so...
Okay.
So. I'm here.
All right. So part of the reason that you're here today, that and to share information with us. And we do want people to know, if you do have any gardening questions, you can give us a call at 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284 anytime throughout the hour. And Rita, I'd like to start with you only because you have three or four topics that you'd like to talk about this mm-hmm. morning. And the one I want to start with first is stink bugs.
Okay.
I see them all over the place. I've seen them in my garden, on my patio. They get into the house every once in a while, and I would suspect with the temperatures dropping, we might see even a few more inside.
That's right. I have an article that they put out about the stink bugs, and you can always call into the Extension office. It's 622-2265 and get a fact sheet about the stink bugs. And let me grab my glasses.
Well, a story about those stink bugs. While Rita gets her glasses, they mm-hmm. they really do give off stink. An awful smell. I was doing a remote mm-hmm. Last year, and I was seated and felt a tickle on my neck. Didn't know what it was. Scratched it, and it turns out it was a stink bug. And he did his thing on my collar, so I got that close to my nose there. The rest of the day, and they do smell bad.
Yeah, and they say it stains your clothes too mm-hmm. if you crush them.
I've accidentally drank, you know, I did not know that the stink bugs were in our coffee pot at the gardens.
Yeah.
And there was just one back there, and it had died back there, I think. And the guys filled up the coffee pot, and I went down and got some coffee, and I'm like, wow, what is wrong with this? It was disgusting.
Did you swallow the bug?
I didn't swallow the bug.
Okay.
It was in the back of the pot, but it tasted awful.
Yeah. So a small amount of this stuff isn't toxic. We learned that anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
All right. Well, what else do you have for us, Rita?
I want to tell you that they're brown marmorated.
Brown marmorated stink beetles, I've learned.
Yeah, bugs. And they like to spend their winter in our homes, in our attic and garage. And you should check your attic. If there are gaps or holes where they can get in for the winter, that's where they'll be. And there's also the box elder bugs and the conifer seed bugs that like to get in and shelter for the winter. The common places are for the window frames. They get gaps, and so do the door jams and the soffits and the unscreened attic vents. And after a place has been established for 10 years or more, the caulking can start pulling away from the windows and doors. So they say the solution for to keep the bugs out is to caulk all your gaps and holes. And the stink bugs are not native to Ohio. They are invasive. When crushed, they stink and can stain your walls or carpet or your clothes. They can be a nuisance when they visit you. The stink bug is also outside and a crop pest for the summer.
Mm-hmm. What do they do? I've seen them on especially my pepper plants. And, mm-hmm. I just flick them off, but, mm-hmm. But lots of them this summer. Do they do harm to?
I'm assuming that they nibble at the insects and the bugs or anything that's on it.
They're on there for a reason.
Yeah.
David?
Yeah, and we're having some issues as we get into the soybean fields here, too, because mm-hmm. the stink bugs have really found that they like soybeans.
Uh-huh.
So they've been nibbling on the pods, and that opens up the pods for a lot of moisture, as mm-hmm. we've had, as we know. So we're seeing a lot of seeds that are off-colored, discolored, maybe getting some rot in it just from our local soybean fields. So they're a little critter that likes to nibble on a little bit of everything.
How about Asian lady beetles? Are they a problem?
They're very invasive, too.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed them being as bad this year as the stink bugs have been. Sometimes we have them on covering the whole side of the warm side of the house. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been so warm, though, up until this point.
I remember there was one fall foliage tour, and it was about maybe 10 years ago, where they were just all over flying all over the places. And some places you see lots of them, and other places just a few.
And one thing you'll notice, their biology will go up and down based on what we see with. They're a predator, so they like aphids, and this was a really low year as far as soybean aphids. So a lot of times when we get into soybean harvest, you'll see these multi-colored lady Asian beetles race to our homes because they're getting shoved out of the soybean fields. But the populations were low with aphids this year, so I think you'll see you'll be bugged more by stink bugs this year than those crazy, what we would call Halloween ladybugs.
Well, and that would seem to indicate that the Asian lady beetles are beneficial, at least for soybean fields. Is that the case?
Yeah, they're a predator, yes, and they're good for us in certain amounts, but I think homeowners will have something to say about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I read that actual ladybugs will kill about 1,000 aphids in their lifetime, so they are super, super beneficial, as I'm sure the Halloween ones are as well. So.
But for those people that aren't soybean farmers, we don't want to see them on our patios.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Anything else, Rita, about the stink bugs that you'd like to share with us?
I don't think so. Yeah. Some people think that a spray would work, but I don't think it does.
Well, the question will be, $64,000 question, is if they do get in my home in numbers, how do I get rid of them?
That's right.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So you have to just physically lift them out of there?
Well, there are. If you go to your local stores, you can find some home defense chemicals, and they're listed for stink bugs. And those would be perimeter spray that you would spray around, especially Rita already mentioned about they like to get in through your windows. So you might spray those windowsills on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Our number one method of getting rid of them is sucking them up with a sweeper.
Mm-hmm.
Use a sweeper that maybe your wife doesn't know that you're using. Because you would probably get a little bit of that smell. So maybe you get a stink bug vacuum or a shop vac.
Mm-hmm.
Suck them all up. And probably the easiest way is just mix up a liquid detergent soap and some water. And then when you suck them all up, throw them in this dishwater soap, and that will kill them.
They're not very good swimmers.
No, and they don't like that soap.
All right. So stink beetles. If you have any questions about stink beetles or bugs or your garden, give us a call, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. And I would like to hear from you. And, before we get to our first break, it is October, and the vegetable gardening season, at least for me, for a lot of us, is winding down, although there are still some cold weather crops that are thriving. So, Rita, what can we do here in October for our vegetable gardens or our flowers?
Well, I know you were interested in the tomatoes.
Yes.
I usually pinch the top of the tomatoes so the leaves won't keep growing and pull some of the leaves off the bottom part of the tomato plant. So the tomatoes that are on there and you want them to ripen, they'll ripen faster. because of the green foliage being gone.
Okay, but it looks like probably these 80-degree days, although they lingered long into October, right, are probably behind us. So, but I do have, and I told you off air that I've got several plants that still do have, I probably got a couple of dozen of green ones hanging on my plants. They can still ripen?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Glad to hear that. I almost tossed them all out earlier this week, but I didn't because I just didn't want to at the time. I was being lazy. It is 9:15. We do have open phone lines for the Master Gardeners, and we'll take a call right after this. For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
At Century National Bank, we care about your time, money, and peace of mind. That's why we're happy to introduce our new Priority Series of Accounts. Four choices. One is perfect for you. Not because we say so, but because we listen to what you said is important to you. Visit us at Century National Bank to get an account perfectly matched to your priorities. Ask about ATM fee refunds, free checks, and other new discounts and protections. After all, when it comes to how you use your money, your priority is the one that matters. Division of the Park National Bank, member FDIC. CenturyNationalBank.com.
Call the Advanced Spinal Care Sports Service 24 hours a day at 623-9867.
Hey guys, Casey Allen here to let you know that my good friends down at Advanced Spinal Care and Rehabilitation have a fully equipped physical therapy department. So if you need any type of physical therapy at all, give them a call at 740-291-8100. I promise you they'll do a fantastic job.
This look at the weather is brought to you by locally owned and operated Rick's Auto Sales and Repair, offering dent, ding, and major collision damage repair by their ASC Blue Certified Technicians. Now featuring an ASC Certified Full Service Department. From collisions to brakes to engine repair, Rick's Auto Sales and Repair on South 2nd Street across from Bueller's.
Partly sunny today with highs in the lower 50s. For tonight, cloudy, showers likely, mainly in the evening. Lows in the upper 30s, chance of rain 60%. And tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of rain showers in the morning, then partly cloudy in the afternoon, cool, with highs around 50. Chance of rain is 30%. The Master Gardeners are here with us until 10 o'clock this morning, and they are here to take your phone calls. And, folks, let's take our first call of the morning. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Morning.
Good morning, everybody. These Asian, I just call them Asian ladybugs, they like to be on corn, too. I've got a farmer that just had hay in this field on top of a hill. And for the first 2 years I lived here, he went up there and made hay. And then he turned it into a cornfield. And being down in Woodbury, no farms being around close by, I never did have a lot of these beetles. And I was outside working on my pickup truck when he came with the corn picker and went up on the hill and started picking corn. And about an hour later, I had to go into the house because those Asian beetles were all over the place. I tried to breathe. They were getting up my nose and everything like that. And the following year, he went in and put in soybeans and the same thing. But I did notice last year, they weren't as bad, and this year, they weren't as bad. And what I found is those fly sticky traps that you pull out of the tube and they're hang down, that I had them in my house for flies, and if you catch a couple of them Asian bugs and throw them at it and get them to stick on there, then the other Asian beetles will get on there too. But you always had to catch a couple and throw on there and get them stuck on there before the other ones would go on.
Do those bugs, other than the nuisance that our caller is describing, them bumping into you and getting on you in the sheer numbers and going up your nose and all that kind of stuff, do they do any, are they harmful in any way?
They're more of a nuisance. I think when we were talking about the stink bugs, getting those into your coffee, there is something you don't want to, what's worse is getting those multicolored lady Asian beetles in. Even in the grape industry, when you pick a lug of grapes, one or two of those beetles, if they're crushed into the grapes, will cause significant damage, almost to where you have to throw it away.
Yeah.
And I've even heard people that have mixed it into a brownie batter by accident, a few of them, and then there's just a horrid taste from that. So if you want to make me some brownies, just make sure, Mike, that you don't put any Lady Asian beetles in there, because the amazing kind of things that will happen to the taste. It's just it's gross.
Okay, I'll put cicadas in instead.
Yeah, that would be a little crunch.
Freezer from last year. All right, now, caller, any other questions, anything else?
No, that was it.
All right, well, thank you for calling, and the bugs. Now, when is typically the peak for the Asian lady beetle? Or is there a typical
right at harvest
okay.
is when we're going to notice them, because they're moving out of the fields.
I
just
see.
Like the caller mentioned,
yeah.
whether it's corn or soybeans, they're looking for shelter, and you've just taken away their shelter. So next best option is come bunk up with you for the winter.
Yeah, so we might see a few during the fall foliage tour this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and is that? I mean, I suppose that's a defense mechanism for them. Do they have any predators, or you know, are there any?
Yeah, there are natural predators out there for them,
not
parasites
enough.
And that, but just not enough,
not
because
enough to,
they're just ferocious
yeah.
breeders.
That's why there's so many.
Yeah.
And through experience, they do they can nibble on you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They can give you a little bit of a bite.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if anybody has any bug questions or gardening questions, you can give us a call. The phone lines are open. Let's see what else we have here on our agenda here. Was there anything, Jandy, that you brought with you today?
Well, I was going to actually pass it to Yep. He went to an event last
mushrooms.
Night.
Mushrooms, yeah.
Yeah, there was a really cool event last night held down at the Frontier Power Meeting Room in regards to, let me get this word here, and David, you can correct me, but I believe it's mycophyllologist or something to that effect. But
oh, wow.
Close enough, okay. Erica Lyon, who's the was the speaker, she was an expert in regards to mushrooms, all right? And we primarily talked about fall, late summer and fall mushrooms, obviously. But the interesting thing about that, there was a large crowd there, all right? And it wasn't just from Coshocton County either. We had folks there from Tuscarawas County, Holmes County, Wayne County, Knox County, that all traveled down there to listen to her speak. And she had many different examples of different types of, obviously, fall mushrooms, which was really cool. And it was a lot of fun.
And around here, when we think of mushrooms, typically we think of the morels in spring.
Right.
There are other edible mushrooms.
There are other edible mushrooms, which she had examples of those, like truffles and various different other types that are out in the fall here. Now, I'm still not completely sure that I would get the butter and flour out and fry them up and eat them, okay, because I'm certainly not an expert, but it was great to sit there and listen, and it was a great program that was put on by the OSU Extension. So.
It stands to reason that there are mushrooms and funguses out there that you don't want to eat.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And Erica tried to do her best to be able to define the difference between what would be edible and not edible in regards to it. But the bottom line is you need to be able to do a lot of research and make sure that you're not eating something that...
if you don't know what it is,
don't eat it. Okay, so...
all right, so, but, I mean, are there a lot of...
Yes, okay, that's one of the things that Erica was encouraging the folks, especially during this period here that we got wet and it was warm and so forth. Now it's cooling off, but yeah, we're probably right toward the end of that season right now here, and it's a good time to go out in the woods and look around and see what you can find.
Did she indicate that there might be some that could be deadly or...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. That's why I highly encourage anybody, if you're going to go out and do that, and this was her encouragement also, that you have to be absolutely sure what it is that you are picking and going to eat.
I wasn't there, but I actually got a text message from someone that said that they were talking about mind controlling fungus there. And that's something that I've really been interested in, mind controlling insects. And so to hear that, I'm like, oh man, I'm so sad that I missed it. But really,
yes, this was a fungus that actually attack the brain of ants.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and controls them.
I've heard of those, the zombie.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, the zombie ants. I've
zombie
heard
ants.
About that.
That's what
okay.
It was. Yes.
Yeah, wild.
Nature's scary.
Yeah. Yes.
It is 9:25. You have any questions for the Master Gardeners? In fact, we do have a call, so let's get back to the phones now. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have some questions for the Master Gardeners. I've admired them deeply for many years. I support their plant sale. But I went to a OSU, I don't know what to call it, little information session at Clary Gardens about cover crops. And I was apparently very ignorant because I looked at cover crops as being a good thing, stop erosion and stuff like this. But they are putting in a new section of perennial beds along a stairway, and they were going to use two cover crops. One was oats, which I understand dies down by itself, but the other one, from my understanding, has to be literally killed with glyphosate, and then the ground sets for 2 weeks, and then you can plant it. And this just seems pretty contrary to what I thought the Master Gardener's position would be on bees, wildlife, health, nature, safety. The World Health Organization lists glyphosate, that's Roundup, as a carcinogen. Then the neocides, that's another issue. I do not know what products they're in. I meant to go online to find that out. But they're very dangerous to our bee population. And I know the big box stores, Lowe's and Home Depot, have stopped carrying items with those in them. But I'm very, very disappointed that Ace Hardware does. The parent store does, as far as I know, our local store does. That's rather disingenuous when you have beekeeper supplies, in my opinion. That's kind of like yin and yang. But I just want to ask the Master Gardeners, is their position that it's okay and beneficial to wipe out the benefits of using one item called a cover crop and then killing it with a nasty pesticide? And I just don't understand that position, and I'd like some clarification, please.
All right, so a lot of angles that we could approach that from, but the use of pesticides, controversial at times. David, what are your thoughts?
Right, now, there's a couple questions that she had mixed in there, so hopefully I'll be able to address all of those. Anything the Master Gardeners do through our curriculum and in our program is all about integrated pest management or an IPM approach. So on any issue, regardless if that's a weed, where weed are determination of a cover crop, where you have to get rid of a cover crop unless Mother Nature did it, like oats, where Mother Nature is killing it during the winter. There are a couple different ways to terminate a cover crop, like you would see there. Of course, one of those options is a chemical control. And that is part, again, our philosophy is that we present all the options to the person that is in trying to make a decision. And then they can make the decision based on their philosophical background. So cover crop, you could terminate it with chemical, absolutely. But you also could go in and actually go through mechanical, where you would mechanically harvest it and pull it out. Or even in our local fields, what we'll see is a cover crop could be terminated just by rolling it down and then coming back in and planting into it. So there are multiple options as far as control. So as far as chemicals, I mean, that's a personal decision based on a person's beliefs, what they choose to use, whether it's a weed or an insect to control. So that's kind of our philosophy, has been for the Master Gardener since we started here in Ohio since 1985. So it's going to come back to, but we're going to present you all the options and allow then the consumer to make a decision. Now, there was a mention about pollinators, and pollinators are one of those things that, of course, our Master Gardeners have some great pollinator gardens, regardless if it's at Clary or if it's out at Lake Park. But the neonicotinoids is what she was referring to. The neonicotinoids is an insecticide. So it's different. There's insecticides, which kill insects. There are herbicides, which kill weeds. And then there's fungicides, which control diseases. So they're all pesticides. So we use the word pesticides in a broad brush, but we have to know, is it actually something that kills a weed like a herbicide, i.e. Roundup, 2,4-D, when we're looking at weeds? Could it be a fungicide that controls a fungus on our tomatoes, or an insecticide, which is basically helping to control insects? So a neonicotinoid has been a very important chemical as far as controlling those insects, especially when crops are germinating. The seeds are germinating into the cotyledon stage before you see them push up out of the ground. But neonicotinoids, if you read on the label, neonicotinoids are not to be used during bloom periods. So if someone is using chemicals responsibly, then neonicotinoids shouldn't even be an issue in the landscape, because they're not even to be used at those flowering parts of the time for where pollinators may be affected. That's not saying that there's off-label use by folks. That's nothing that you or I could control. But knowing that how neonicotinoids are supposed to be used, those are being used at times that we're not in flower. So in all the labels, regardless of the insecticide, if you read the label will specifically say, and I have not seen a chemical yet, that if a crop is in bloom, it is not to be used. So if it is being used, it's an off-label use of the product. But philosophy-wise, we try to look at integrated approaches, whether that's a chemical approach, a biological, like parasites that might eat bugs, kind of like the multi-layered colored Asian beetle we talked about, mechanical, by pulling, doing crop rotations, cultural things where you might be planting marigolds in your garden because they may detract some of the bugs that come into your garden. So there's a multitude of ways to correct a problem. It's just a matter of the person deciding what fits their program the best.
When it comes to pesticides, insecticides, fungicides, et cetera, is there scientific inroads being made on pesticides that will take care of the problem but are less harmful or not harmful to humans? Long ago we had malathion and DDT and all those. We don't have that anymore.
No, we have come, Mike, in our lifetime, we've come a long way of what is acceptable, has been acceptable. Better research, hence the university structure, why it's so important about the research of looking at these chemicals and then adding data to them. So those chemicals that we know were not good, they're off the market. And any of the chemicals that will put you into a higher risk category, they're not even available to the homeowners. They're restricted. And we have a whole list of those restricted chemicals. And if those are used in the agricultural realm, our producers that are using them have to come and they have to pass a competency exam that is administered by the Ohio Department of Agriculture. And then every 3 years, they have to come to a local extension program, which we do every winter with our farmers. And they have to become recertified to be able to buy those restricted chemicals and then to be able to use them. So that regardless if it's a private guy like you or I that are raising soybeans, or it's a commercial company that is spraying for farmers, they're all required by law to have an applicator's license to be able to do that and to purchase. You can't purchase it. So any of those chemicals which you could buy in any of your local stores, they would fall into, they're not restricted because you could not walk in there and buy them as a homeowner. And the things like diazinon and dursban that you mentioned, boy, great products. Like when you have crazy ant problems, the problem is you're supposed to put like a half a teaspoon on an ant hill or maybe up to a tablespoon, but that wasn't good enough for the consumer because they looked
at slugs.
Yeah, they said that ant's not dead yet, so instead of that tablespoon that they were supposed to put down, what did they do? They opened up the container and just dumped the entire container. That is not responsible, and that's the exact reason those chemicals are not available on the homeowner market any longer.
Well, the one that is under the microscope right now that our caller mentioned, and that would be Roundup, it seems to be in the crosshairs.
It's in the crosshair, and, you know, boy, it would be fascinating to do a whole hour show on that, and there are a lot of people a lot smarter than the four of us sitting here.
There's a lot of politics involved too, isn't there?
There's a lot of politics, but as far as I would just promote for all consumers, just don't believe everything that you read. Go deep into the data, looking at scientific research. I would be skeptical of organizations that have maybe an agenda push. So I would lend more to the scientific community that is doing the research on it and look at some of those reports and then make a decision based on that. But the data will tell you that in all the chemicals that are out there, as far as the ability to break down before they would become a problem, glyphosate, which we all call it a Roundup, but it's the chemical is actually glyphosate. Glyphosate is probably one of this. There's no such thing as a perfectly safe chemical. That's bottom line. You could drink too much coffee and kill yourself. There's enough of that in there. There are a lot of things that we could do. All right. So as on the whole spectrum of chemicals, glyphosate is the one that breaks down the quickest comparatively to a lot of the others. There are some botanicals or organic chemicals that are on the market that are actually in the carcinogenic rating are higher. They are their ability to cause cancer, some of the organics, is higher than what a glyphosate would be. So you have to, you know, those are discussions. And bottom line, I don't think any chemical is safe, 100% safe. And anybody who tells you any chemical is 100% safe, we need to talk, because they're not. Mm-hmm. And there's so much risk in life that we have, and chemicals part of that equation. So I just am confident with our government agencies that do the rating. And if you follow the label, you should be okay.
Well, there's going to be those that don't, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we know that. There's just like people that you're not supposed to speed either. But probably you, speed every day, right? So, but we promote, as far as Master Gardeners, promote the safe and responsible use. If you are going to use chemicals, let's be safe about it. Let's read the label. I think the biggest issue that we have against all consumers is that we just don't read the label. We don't have time to. Number one, my eyes are tired, and it's such small print.
It's written in 4 point.
Right, but if we could suggest anything, if you're going to use a chemical, read the label, and if you're going to get a chemical that controls stink bugs, make sure it controls stink bugs, because you could walk into any store today, and there's all these chemicals, and you look at them, and you don't even know if it controls it. If it is not listed on there to control stink bugs, guess what? It probably doesn't control stink bugs.
Right. So, and that is a requirement, isn't it, for those labels to list what they could be used for.
Right.
Okay.
So if there's one take home lesson out of this, is if you are going to use a chemical, make sure you read that label and follow it to the T. That's the reason it's there. It's just not there just to look pretty.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, the phone lines are open, and if you have any questions of your own, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. We'll be back with the Master Gardeners right after this.
Papa's sandwiches are now available at Coshocton's Papa John's Pizza. Choose from Philly cheesesteak, meatball provolone, barbecue chicken bacon, Italian hero, and buffalo chicken, just $6.99 each. Call 740-623-8483 or order online at papajohns.com.
They say to really know a man, you have to walk a mile in his boots. Well, my channel Seedsman has logged more miles than I can count in mine. Every spring, we hit my fields together at the first sight of green. 6 weeks later, he's out here again checking roots, stock, soil, like they were his own. As crops grow, so does his commitment to making sure there's nothing overlooked. Nutrients, weed control, pests, disease. He gets an agronomist to weigh in whenever we need a second opinion. The whole time, using the latest technology to document where we've been and decide where we're going. Wheels always turning. And come harvest, we celebrate in the cab. Him working away, making plans for next season. That, my friends, is what they call seedsmanship at work. Look, anybody can sell you seed. Only a Channel Seedsman gives you everything you need to make the most of it. Find yours at channel.com/boots.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza, asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Did you know your experiences as a parent, grandparent, or person over 50 could be great qualifications for a job as a professional caregiver? Life has taught you compassion, nurturing, respect, and an appreciation for others. Intrum Healthcare looks for and values these qualities in our caregivers. if providing companionship and dignity to others while helping with housekeeping, transportation, meal preparation, medication reminders, personal care, and dressing sounds like something that you would enjoy, Intrum Healthcare would like to speak with you. Give Intrum Healthcare a call at 740-623-2949 or visit us online at intrumhealthcare.com.
Hi, it's Hannah from McPeak's Mighty Maze, and I just want to tell you to get lost. Just kidding. Bring the family out to search for the Yeti in the Expedition Everest corn maze. After you find your way out of the maze, head into the pumpkin patch to find that perfect jack-o'-lantern. This year in the fun park, we added a huge playground, hamster wheels, and our personal favorite, a jump pad. We're open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Save 20% on your tickets when you visit ohiomaze.com. That's ohiomaze.com.
Nobody's happy about a car accident. But Allstate guarantees you'll be happy with your claim experience. The Claim Satisfaction Guarantee, only from Allstate. They guarantee your claim will be fast, fair, and hassle-free. Or your money back, no questions asked. It's another way Allstate is changing car insurance for good.
For a free quote, call Coshocton Allstate agent Taylor Insurance and Financial today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Premium credit varies based on vehicle involved.
Are you tired of plans with data limits? Switch your family to Boost Mobile and get free smartphones for everyone. Plus, get three lines for only $100 per month with unlimited talk, text, high-speed data, plus 20 gigabytes of hotspot. No contract or credit check required. Stop by Boost Mobile, located in the Downtowner Plaza next to Rent-A-Center, for more information. Now, here's the weather.
Partly sunny today, highs in the lower 50s for tonight. Cloudy with showers likely, mainly in the evening. Lows in the upper 30s, chance of rain 60%. And for tomorrow, partly sunny skies with a chance of rain showers in the morning. Then a partly sunny in the afternoon, cool with highs around 50 degrees. Chance of rain is 30% today. We've got a couple of other topics we want to get to here, but became abundantly apparent during the commercial break there that you folks are a wealth of knowledge, and well, that's what the Extension Office is all about. And you have a lot of fact sheets and resources, David, if people have questions about anything that we've talked about today, or maybe they don't be on the air with us. There's a website and places that they can go.
We also have a plant and pest clinic that we're still doing through the end of October. It's Tuesday mornings from 9 to noon, or Thursday afternoons from 1 to 4, I believe, where we are actually, there's some master gardeners in the office. People can come, bring questions, bring samples. I know that this is a big time in addition to stink bugs and lady beetles. This is a big time for spiders are getting in the houses. And so people are bringing in, you know, samples of dead spiders, or sometimes we even get live spiders, you know, trying to figure out what these are and are they harmful and how do I get rid of them? So, but that's kind of a neat thing that we've just started this year and we're coming to the end of, but it's been a good experience and a way for us master gardeners to get our hours and to interact with the public and do some education. The other thing that I did want to mention was, well, and you can contact us anytime. OSU Extension's number is 740-622-2265. And, or you can contact David by email at marison.2@osu.edu. But we have an additional two-part series going on with our perennial garden that's out at Clary Gardens. It's a master gardener educational perennial garden. We welcome the public to come in. We want to share our best practices and things we've done. We've started from scratch with this perennial garden. Right now, when you drive up the hill up Clary Gardens and you go off onto the left-hand side and park in the parking lot, the first part of the scarecrow trail, you'll walk up a set of steps and you'll see that right now we've got that all planted with cover crops because of soil compaction, because we don't want it to wash away over the winter months or over, you know, all this rain that we've had. And so, but we're going to be meeting on Wednesday, January 16th and February 6th to talk more about the designing a perennial garden, learning how to select perennial plants, and we encourage folks to bring their catalogs, books, questions, and we'll have more information about that when it gets closer to that point in time. But we're really excited to educate the public.
Well, and just very quickly about this guy, there's certainly a lot of talk about those scarecrows.
Oh, there. Yes.
And, at Clary Gardens. In fact, the folks from Roscoe were with us
yesterday.
And they're getting into the act.
How exciting. Yes. You know, we've been working with the Roscoe Village Business Association, and they have actually, they have scarecrows all through the village. A nice photo opportunity to get a picture, and it looks so great with the design of all the seasonal displays that they have out there. I think they probably have at least 10 scarecrows through the village. I just counted, you know, I've been saying that we have about 30 entries, but we actually have about 45 scarecrows out at the gardens, which is kind of, it's wild to think, and we're open daylight hours, so people can come check those out anytime.
Yeah, they call us Crow Town, they can start calling us Scarecrow Town.
It's definitely becoming a destination here locally for scarecrows.
Well, very good. And Rita, we wanted to talk about, this is the time of the year to start dividing bulbs, is that right?
Yes, it is. Things to do this time of month is divide your perennials, and plant your bulbs, and then start mulching your plants for the winter for protection. Also raking up the leaves and making your compost piles and cleaning out your vegetable gardens. And this is also a time you could also test your soil and also plan your gardens for next year, like theme gardens, like the butterfly garden or hummingbird or pollinator or all-colored garden. And you could also pot some and force some bulbs inside, like paper whites and narcissuses. And you can dry your herbs right now and have them ready and make potpourri and soaps and candles and make gifts for people like jellies and breads. And just enjoy doing it. And I also wanted to mention our newsletter. We have a newsletter out, and you can also pick those up at various locations. But the fall foliage is coming up, the 20th and 21st, and the Master Gardeners will be there passing out information and having a drawing for a tree book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. I was going to ask you, Rita, you're a member of the Herb Society, too, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So what is it about the herbs that attracts you?
I like the smell and the taste.
Okay.
She makes some really great cookies that that use herbs that you wouldn't aren't the traditional, the normal.
Yeah, we make lavender cookies in the spring, and we have a herb presentation for Lunch and Learn up there at Clary Gardens, and so look for that this spring.
Well, I learned this year that different herbs, just like any other type of plant, they take different types of care depending on the plant, so I had some success and some failures, but I've got thyme and lots of basil. Basil's easy to grow.
Well, I was going to say basil is the number one herb in all the cookbooks that they use a lot of. The Italians cook with basil.
I fell in love with really basil good. A couple of years ago and made pesto with it throughout the winter. But what about basil and thyme? And let's see, what else do I have? That's all I can think of right now.
There's tarragon, oregano.
Rosemary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what about keeping them over the winter, bringing them back?
They're hard to grow over the winter. We've experienced you have to have the right amount of sunlight and watering, and don't overwater because they don't get as much sun, And you have to test the soil with your finger and make sure that when that pot is dry, when you put your finger down in and it's still moist, that dirt is not dry. You have to make sure that your pots are dry and then water, like once a week or once every 2 weeks or something like that.
Your words are not exceptionally encouraging to me here.
That's right. I'm sorry. I've worked at different greenhouses and tried to grow them, and even the ones they put in reeds, you can't overwater those either because they don't like a lot of moisture in their soil.
But I think I did learn that the herbs, though, they don't take a particular, they could grow in a lot of different soil types. So so that's one encouraging thing about growing herbs.
Right. Well, I've got it enough. Is. I can dry out and use them all through the
That's
the
what window. I like is dry
but,
herbs.
Dill, for example, you can dry them out, that nothing beats the fresh.
That's right.
All right. Very good, Bob.
Jandy got me. This has been probably 3 or 4 years ago, actually, a small hydroponic garden that grows the herbs very well in the wintertime.
Oh,
Okay, so that's kind of cool right there. So we always
that
have fresh
the
herbs.
That is thing out.
I have to look into to that. I did get a couple of grow lamps when I started my seed last year, so I've got
good.
That.
One that we didn't mention was the National Herb of the Year, which is hops this year, the International Herb of the Year.
That's
and
nice.
So we've been growing that here for a couple years, my family has, and so we entered it into the fair this year and did pretty well, which was great.
And you've been having fun with it, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, we have.
Make
we
your
have.
Beer?
We do, every once in a while when we have time. Yep.
Is there any other use for hops other than beer?
Yes, it's a sleep aid, so it helps people sleep. So back a long time ago, they used to put it in pillowcases and to help people sleep. Yeah, and when you're harvesting it, I know if you harvest it by hand, you can get sleepy. You can feel the effects of the lupulin. Yeah.
Now, you growing them, you have had to have at least tried them or tasted them in their raw form.
Yes. Yep. They're bitter. I mean, that's what they are the bittering agent of beer. But there's so many different. So many different ways that you can make craft beer, and that's the fun part about it is that hops can be citrusy, they can add a pine flavor, a more earthy flavor to the beer, and so it's fun to try out different varieties. There's so many different varieties of hops, some that don't grow as well around here, but that's kind of the fun part of trying to grow them, is seeing if you can get them to grow here and how you put them, how do you use them in your beer.
What is it about the Pacific Northwest that that makes that's ideal for growing hops?
You know, I'm not even, you know, I'm not the expert in it by any means. We're just learning and having fun with it. But, mm-hmm. but you know, the weather here is a big part of that. So,
what are they like?
They need sun. The thing is, it's a labor intensive crop to grow around here because you have to fertilize daily during a certain period of year and you have to irrigate because they're not getting enough water and they need so much nitrogen.
And you have to build a frame or a trellis or
you
something.
You sure do. For them, yeah, they grow up a trellis system 20 feet in the air. And so you have to deliver that nitrogen to them on a regular basis before the summer solstice.
Well, we better take it. I'm sorry, David?
I just want to say, if you're interested in growing hops, uh-huh. OSU Extension Tuscarawas County is going to host a hops clinic on Thursday, October 25th. So if you want more information about that, just call our extension office. We have a flyer there on it.
Talking to Jandy, and I have another friend that grows his own hops. It seems to be something that is gaining in popularity.
It is,
here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break here. We'll be back one more time with the Master Gardeners right after this.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service for the local forecast 24 hours a day at 622-0194. Jeff Drennan Ford, 801 South 2nd Street, Coshocton. And always remember, when you're thinking of buying a new car, it's time to talk to Jeff.
Hi, this is Lori from your local employee-owned Bueller store with some great money-saving deals. Buy the pick 5 in our meat department and get your 6th item free. Red or white seedless grapes for just 99 cents a pound. Bueller's white milk for $1.99 a gallon. Our family brand frozen vegetables are only 49 cents each when you buy 5. And just so you don't miss out on these savings, we're running these specials for 2 weeks through October 16th. It's just one more way we're putting people first here at your Coshocton Bueller's, caring for our community.
You could win a Trans-Siberian Orchestra gift package from our Ace Hardware. The grand prize winner will get 2 tickets to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert of their choice, airfare, and hotel for 2 people, and a $200 prepaid cash card. You must be 18 years old to enter. No purchase is necessary. For your chance to win, go to www.musicatace.com. Get your entry in because the sweepstakes end soon. It's sponsored locally by Our Ace Hardware, Otsego Avenue in Coshocton.
The energy business is booming again. How would you like to be a part of the action? You can with Aerial Corporation. They are looking for talented mechanics, machinists, and multi-craft maintenance technicians at their headquarters in Mount Vernon and in their Newark facility to help support this exciting time in the industry. In addition to a thrilling career, you will receive an exceptional benefit package, including paid time off and profit sharing. To learn more and to apply, visit them at aerialcorp.com. Again, that's aerialcorp.com.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
It is 9:54. We are back with the Master Gardeners one more time. Just very quickly, and I know we're going to have some representatives next week to talk more in detail, but the Fall Foliage Tour is coming up. And you're going to have to help me out here because I mess it up every time. It's the Fall Foliage and Farm Tour. Is that right?
I think so.
That is correct.
That's what it's called. And so that'll be the weekend. When is it?
20th and 21st.
Okay, the weekend after this coming weekend. So all the stops are planned. What part of the county is it going to be in?
Okay, it's going to be in the northeast part of the county. So we're going to be all over northeast part starting, if you want to get your brochure, stop in at the Animal Boutique and Villas. They're on Airport Road. You can grab your tour map there, and then from there, there's going to be a dairy farm, a goat and sheep farm, antique tractors. TMK Bakersville is going to be open. And then we just talked about hops, so Woolly Pig Farm Brewery is on the tour, as well as Rainbow Hills Winery.
Okay, so those are the stops. Sounds like a great weekend. And what about the forecast for the colors, fall colors?
When's peak time?
When is peak time, everybody wants to know.
Yes.
Well, based on the weather forecast, going to start that weekend of fall foliage tour. So October 22nd. If you want my peak day of the month, here's my prediction, October 25th.
Uh-huh.
Just based on the weather. But we should, because of these warmer days this week and then the cooler nights, we're getting down in the high 30s. That means that we may see more than what I would say the ugly yellows and browns. It may allow for some of those brilliant reds and purples to come in. Just with how the pigments work in the leaves, we may see some reds because of it this year.
My observation is that the leaves are changing colors a little later than usual this year. Is that just me, or is that the case all around the area?
I think it's the case.
Yeah. Okay, well, very good. I want to thank you all for being with us today, the Master Gardeners. And, again, we'll have more details on the Fall Foliage Tour sometime next week. And we have more to come on the Communication Lines program.
Talking Football on WTNS, brought to you by the Jeff Drennan Dealerships.
Welcome to Talking Football here on WTNS, brought to you by the Jeff Drennan Dealerships. I'm Casey Claxton here with Steve Corries. Before we preview the games coming up on Friday night here in Coshocton County, we pay tribute to Tom Thompson. Tommy passed away on Saturday, October the 6th. Tommy was the sports voice of WTNS Sports and all of Coshocton County. Steve, I know you spent many a nights broadcasting games throughout your career and his career of 45 years broadcasting for WTNS. I'm sure you've got wonderful memories working with Tom.
You know, Casey, I've thought about this a great deal this week. And you know what? I think from my standpoint, I think I'm going to probably remember the trips more than I am the games. You know, a lot of conversation, you know, good, bad, and indifferent, talked about a lot of different things, and probably one of my best friends of all time, really. And, you know, no question I'm going to miss him, and I already have missed the conversation. So it's a tough time, and we're just going to get through it.
Steve, you were telling me earlier about the first game that you ever broadcasted with Tom.
Well, it was 1976. I hadn't been doing any games. I got out of the service. I went to work at Carroll's Men's Shop, and we became good friends. He was selling advertising at the time for the radio station, and he always tried to get me to go to games with him. And back in those days, Main Street was vibrant. We worked till 9 o'clock, and you know, I didn't see a lot of any type game. But it was a Saturday night. I can remember well. It was a Coshocton Tuskegee Valley game, and he talked me into going up, and he said, all you have to do is just do the stats, and I'll take care of everything else. And I thought, well, okay, I can handle that. So we get up there, we get to halftime, you know, I hand him over the stats I have, he goes through it, and lo and behold, as soon as he finished the stats, he looks at me and he says, "Coos, what'd you think of the first half?" And I kind of slowly moved my head and looked at him, and I think the look on my face, he just busted out laughing, had to go to a commercial because I don't think he knew what to say. We finally came back, and it ended up working out okay, and, you know, I spent 32 years alongside him, so it obviously worked out.
A memorial service for Tom Thompson is planned for Sunday, October the 21st at 2 o'clock at Coshocton High School. Steve, if Tom were recording Talking Football with us this week, I know he would be excited about the games coming up this weekend. So let's preview the three games in Coshocton County for Friday night. Let's start with the Ridgewood Generals. They're coming off a tough loss against Garraway on Friday, but they've got a big one at home against Tuskegee Valley.
Yeah, they really do. Tuskegee Valley's a type of team. They're going to play a lot of defense. They've had difficulty scoring points, but they're a good, solid defensive football team. But the Generals, after that loss, need to bounce back, and I know Coach Slusser will have them ready to go come Friday night.
The Riverview Black Bears will be on the road again this weekend as they meet up with Meadowbrook, and this is an important game for computer points, but it's also a big game if the Black Bears want to have a winning season in 2018.
You know, you hit that right on the nose. The computer points are huge in this game. Both teams come in with a record of 4-3. Riverview needs, obviously, a big win for them to stay alive in the computer ratings. Meadowbrook's on a little bit of a surge. They played the most difficult part of their schedule. They've got a high-powered offense, and they look to get a win today, tonight, which would be a big for them to move on.
Our featured game coming up on Friday night is homecoming here at Stewart Field as the Coshocton Redskins will be matching up with Cambridge. That should be a good one on Friday with two teams at 1-6.
I was going to say the same thing. Both teams are 1-6. Both teams are young. Both teams have had difficulty sustaining things. You know, Coshocton is breaking in a new young quarterback, a sophomore. Cambridge has had some injury problems themselves. And, you know, this is a good matchup for Coshocton at this stage. They're starting to get a little healthier, and they're looking forward to this homecoming battle with the Bobcats.
So join Steve and Jamie McCray for the pregame show Friday night at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. This is Talkin' Football on WTNS Coshocton.
Talkin' Football on WTNS, brought to you by the Jeff Drennan Dealerships.
Check out the WTNS Facebook and Twitter each week for a new Talkin' Football video.
WTNS.
It is 48 degrees downtown. This is WTNS FM, Coshocton, Ohio. And we'll get to the news from the Associated Press here in just a few moments. And we're going to have some open phone lines. It is a pleasure to welcome to the studio Pastor Jim Evans from the First Baptist Church in West Lafayette. And good morning, Pastor Jim. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning, Mike. It's good to be back with you again today.
Well, something that's coming up a week from Sunday, October the 21st, it's become a tradition here locally.
Yes, it has. We had Kenny Evans here last year for revival, Sunday through Wednesday, and had a spaghetti dinner on Wednesday night with a concert with him. And so we're doing that again. We had him one other time for just a one-day event, but we're looking forward to having Kenny back again this year starting next Sunday.
Okay, and we always like to mention that he's not a relative of yours.
Exactly, just okay. A friend that met by chance through a phone call, and we have become great friends. He's a wonderful guy.
Did the same last name have any kind of, was it a catalyst of you getting to know each other or just a coincidence?
Yeah, Kenny had been trying to schedule meetings with pastors up in this area. He's from Knoxville, Tennessee area, and he saw something online about my name and my website, and so he wanted to check it out and see if we were related, and from there we struck up a friendship and had him come up and preach and sing for us and fell in love with him.
Well, tell us a little bit about Kenny and what we can expect on Sunday, October the 21st.
Okay, Kenny is a tremendous speaker. He has been used of God in a lot of different revival meetings. I've been following him since last year, just keeping an eye on what's going on. But he will be preaching on Sunday morning, October the 21st at 10:15. He will also do probably one or two special numbers in the morning, and then Sunday night at 6 o'clock he will be preaching again, probably once again do one or two special numbers. Monday night, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, same format. Then Wednesday night we're going to have a dinner again. This year will be at 5 o'clock before the concert. It is a lasagna dinner. We are charging for the dinner just so that we can give the proceeds to Kenny. Our ladies and families in church have been very generous in helping to supply what's been needed for the dinner. There'll be a little bit of funds needed to offset some of the cost of that that wasn't made up through giving. But the rest of the money goes directly to Kenny. We will be having a free will love offering that night of the concert, and that will be at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, as well as each of the other services. We'll have a free will love offering. This is the only means of support that he has. But he's a great speaker when it comes to preaching the Word of God. He also loves loves the outdoors. I know he's going to be doing deer hunting while he's here, and has done a lot of different wild game dinners, concerts and shows and things like that. So,
all right. How many years is this now that he's come, or how many times?
This would be the third time that we've had him. So we are looking forward to having him here.
So obviously well attended and enjoyed and inspired by the people in the past. Okay.
Yes, people have loved it. I know people that came to the concert last year said, be sure to let us know through radio again when he's going to be here, because they wanted to come. They don't necessarily come to our church, but they're from around the community. So this has opened up to anybody just to come and enjoy the evening and hear some good preaching on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. He will share his testimony again on Wednesday night when he's preaching or singing, but it'll be a great event.
And I would imagine in addition to appearing in West Lafayette, he appears many other places around the country.
He does. He was at a church not too long ago for a wild game dinner, and we're trying to decide what the name of the church was, but it was around the Warsaw area. So you folks that are out there in the Warsaw area that were at that dinner, he's going to be here. So we would love to have you come out. And then I know he did a private show a couple weeks ago up at Willendale Golf Course for an RV group trying to get into the Amish Theater up in the Sugar Creek Berlin area, and they're interested in him, just haven't got things scheduled yet. So he's getting more well known in this area.
Is he in fact a pastor associated with a church in the Knoxville area?
He's not a pastor anymore. He was early on in his ministry. He was involved in youth and music, a couple different churches, and then went out full time in evangelism and singing. So now he has a home church that he goes to when he isn't on the road, but he's on the road about every week.
And what has been your takeaway or your congregation's takeaway from his appearances in the past?
Well, we have loved it. He is a great, great speaker as far as the messages really touch our hearts and helps us to be focused on what God wants to do in our life. His singing has been phenomenal, both the sacred type of gospel concert singing, and then he does a lot of fun things with some of the oldies, and people have had a lot of fun with that. He's a great entertainer, so people would love being there on that night.
So some of the music is intended to be inspirational, but others just plain fun entertainment. Just,
exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very good. I want to run down the schedule one more time, but is there anything else you'd like to share with us about Kenny or anything else going on at the First Baptist Church?
All right. Well, if you are interested in tickets for the dinner, it's $10 for adults and $5 for children 5 to 12 years old. Under 5's free. You can call this number for more information on tickets and how to get them, 330-401-6027. So again, the number is 330-401-6027. And so we'd love to have you out. We are doing a number of other things at church. We've come off of a great summer of trying to have outreach into the community with movie nights and things like that. We have an open gym night on Tuesday nights. Now, of course, it won't be on the Tuesday night that Kenny Evans is there. But from 6 to 8, teens and adults can come in and play basketball for those 2 hours. We have a great time. Would love to have any teens or the adults come out, be a part of that. We are just today receiving a shipment of a couple of soccer goals. We're going to be setting up a soccer field out behind our church so that the community can come in and play. If the school needs a place to have extra practice places, we'll have that as available as well. We have a midweek worship service on Wednesday nights. That's at 7 o'clock, and we are going going through the book of Revelation, the hope of glory, and it's been a great study, and that has been growing. So we're excited about what God is doing in our church and look forward to this great time of revival with Kenny Evans.
All right, and that is coming up Sunday, October the 21st. Before we wrap up, Jim, would you like to run down the whole schedule of Kenny's appearance and when people can get involved?
Okay, I will do that. He will be here on Sunday morning, October the 21st at 10:15 is our morning worship service, and he'll be singing and preaching in that morning service. Sunday night will be 6 o'clock. He will be singing and preaching. Monday night, Tuesday night, October 22nd, 23rd, will be at 7 o'clock, and he will be preaching and singing as well. Wednesday night, October 24th, the dinner starts at 5, and it will be a lasagna dinner. I've already tasted the lasagna. The lady that's making it homemade wanted to do a trial run, and it was amazing. So you will not want to miss her lasagna on that night.
And your hand was up quickly to volunteer for that.
It was. I tested that with no problem and wanted more. But that will be at 5 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock we will have the concert. And I think last year he went probably an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, close to 2 hours, something like that. And most people did not want to leave, so they love him.
All right, Sunday, October the 21st, that's at the First Baptist Church on the east side of West Lafayette. And Pastor Jim, anything else you'd like to share with us today?
That's about all I have today, but thank you for letting us be on.
That's Jim Evans from the First Baptist Church in West Lafayette. It's Kenny Evans, a concert dinner Sunday, October the 21st. You are invited. We're going to have open phone lines from here on out, 740-622-1560. Right now, let's get our national and international news from the Associated Press.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. The Dow opened up this morning almost 400 points after a rough 2 days during which it lost more than 1,300 points. President Trump blamed the big sell-off on the Fed, saying it raised interest rates.
I think the Fed is out of control. I think what they're doing is wrong.
But this morning, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says the president respects the independence of the Fed, and he just wanted to say he likes low interest rates. At least 11 people now known dead after monster Hurricane Michael slammed into Florida. FEMA's Brock Long moments ago.
There was a tremendous amount of debris. And so when you look at this, the damage in Mexico Beach, that is where the ocean rose potentially 14 feet with wave action on top and just shoved buildings out of the way. And when you have that type of damage, it takes some time to get in and actually go through and do the search and rescue.
The storm traveled up the coast, dumping heavy rain. Five of the dead were in Virginia. First Lady Melania Trump says she's got more important things to do than worry about allegations of the president's infidelity.
I know people like to speculate and media like to speculate about our marriage and circulate the gossip. But I understand the gossip sells newspapers, magazines, getting advertisers. And unfortunately, we live in this kind of world today.
Mrs. Trump speaking to ABC News for a one-hour exclusive special airing tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. A Turkish court has just freed American pastor Andrew Brunson, allowing him to leave Turkey despite a terror conviction. Toyota is recalling thousands of pickup trucks, SUVs, and cars because the airbags may not inflate in a crash. These are late-model Tundra pickups and Sequoia SUVs, as well as Avalon sedans. This is AP Radio News. Keeping warm this winter is going to cost more.
The U.S. Energy Information Administration is predicting a 20% increase in spending for home heating oil this winter. Tough news for the Northeast, which accounts for most of the nation's home heating oil consumption. For those who use electric heat, there's a 3% rise expected, 5% for natural gas, with propane costs unchanged. The projections are based on both price and temperature expectations. The National Energy Assistance Directors Association says it fears those estimates are actually low and more people are going to need help finding ways to pay their bills. I'm Jackie Quinn.
A Kansas man who spent 23 years in prison for a double murder he did not commit is suing, saying he was targeted because his mother turned down a homicide detective's sexual advances. Lamont McIntyre was 17 when he was arrested. There was no physical evidence linking him to the crime. Rita Foley, AP Radio News.
It is 14 minutes after 10 o'clock. We have open phone lines for the remainder of our morning today. If you'd like to talk about music, if you'd like to talk about gardening, we can do that. It is Friday. We do try to lighten up and have some fun on Friday. Sometimes we are successful at that. Other times we are not. But let's give it a try. We have open phone lines between now and 11 o'clock this morning. Local history is always a fun Friday type of topic. So we can talk about places that used to be here that no longer are, that you have fond memories of, or businesses or entertainment venues, or there seem to be a lot of creameries around. We've talked about that before, and we have talked about drive-in theaters. So let's get started. Nothing but open phones between now and 11 o'clock. We can talk some sports. The Ohio State Buckeyes, they are 28 or 30-point favorites over Minnesota. It is a home game tomorrow, a game that the Buckeyes should win easily. So we can talk about that if you would like. And I don't say that about every opponent. Minnesota is I have to get my notes here. Minnesota has suffered two straight losses, and the Buckeyes, on paper, certainly, clearly, the superior team. Add the fact that it's in the horseshoe, as the Buckeyes warm up for Michigan State. We've got Minnesota this week at Purdue, the following week at home against Nebraska, which a few years ago would have been a marquee name. Nebraska seems to have hit rock bottom this year. I know they'll be back sometime, but this year isn't it. So we can talk about that if you like, and then it will be against Michigan State. That's their next game that should be competitive. Then they're on the road at Maryland. And then, of course, they wrap up the regular season at home against that team up north. And if everything goes well, then they will play in the Big Ten championship game the following week. And if things go well there, they'll be in the Final Four this year. All the Buckeyes have to do is win out. So that's all they have to do. It's no tough task, except for that Penn State game. They haven't really been challenged this year. But Penn State, a pretty good team, and that quarterback of theirs, he Heisman candidate himself, so we can talk some football. The Browns, I think a win against the Chargers on Sunday would go a long way. Right now the Browns are two wins, two losses, and a tie. And if they can add another win to that total, they're already gaining respect around the league. It's no longer the Browns a team where you can just check it off as a win before you play, like every team did last year. So we can talk some Browns football if you would like. And the fall foliage. The leaves are, in fact, changing color a little bit later this year, although we are starting to see some colors around the area. The trees that I usually look for the yellows and reds at the fair, they stayed green all through the fair. And been told the ones on close to 7th Street, we're now seeing some color in them, but very rare indeed that those trees are green throughout the entire fair. So those are some things that we can talk about. It's Friday. Let's have some fun. The phone lines are open. Let's go ahead and take our next phone call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Good
morning.
Going back to those Asian beetles.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that they don't have predators is because they stink. If you ever have one between your fingers,
yeah,
just for a little bit, and then you smell your fingers, they stink, and that's why the birds don't eat them.
Yeah, they do stink. They don't smell good, and they're an invasive species, so they came from an area where the environmental checks and balances would keep the population in control to here. And I haven't seen I don't know if I've seen any this year or not, but certainly not nearly the numbers we've seen in the past.
Yeah, last year I hardly had any, and this year I haven't had one in the house yet. So anyways, to keep things on the lighter side, today is the International Moment of Frustration Scream Day.
Okay. So what are we supposed to do in observation of that holiday?
I guess if you get frustrated, just scream out loud for a moment.
I do that every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Browns should win this game. I think our defense can shut down Phillip Rivers.
Well, that is the key. That is the key to this game, isn't it?
Yeah, and supposedly, I guess they got a hurt player on the offensive line or something or other that should be able to give one of our defensive ends a sack or two, hopefully.
Yeah, the thing is about the Browns now is I believe that they have a legitimate shot at winning every game. I'm not saying, sort of like you did in the, earlier in the season, I'm not saying they're going to win out. That will not happen. But their opponents have to be on alert and be ready for the Browns. And if some things fall the Browns' way and they play their A game, they have the potential to win no matter who they play.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Well, I got San Diego as a win, or the Chargers as a win, whatever, because they don't play good on the East Coast, and Bosa is out, and it's a home game, and I just figured that they can win it, so I got this game as a win.
I think, like I mentioned before I took your call, that this would be a huge win for the Browns and just the psyche of the team and the fans. That would put them in winning. They'd have a winning record starting to get deep into the season. They do seem to be improving now that we've got Mayfield at quarterback. The more experience he gets, he's only going to get better. And I think that this is a particularly important game.
Yeah. I see it as it's either going to be a high-scoring game like it was with the Saints, or it's going to be a low-scoring game like it was with the Ravens.
No in-between 24.
I can't figure out which one it's going to be.
But no in-between 24-21, anything like that, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a great game, and I'm pretty sure the Browns can win, hopefully. So that's all I got this morning.
All right, well, thank you for calling, and 10:22 is the time. We can talk some Browns football if you would like. See more and more people sporting Cleveland Browns gear these days as well. There's always the diehards that support their team no matter what, but the bandwagon does seem to be filling up. So give me a call. We can talk some Browns football or Steelers if you would like. You know, the Steelers and the Browns, they have identical records, but the mood of the fan bases of those two teams could not be more different. It's 10:23. We'll be back right after this.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center has been awarded Chest Pain Center accreditation by the American College of Cardiology. What does that mean for you? It means our protocol-driven approach to heart attack care allows us to reduce time to treatment during the critical first stages of a heart attack. Quicker diagnosis, faster treatment, and better outcomes. If you think you may be having a heart attack, know that time is muscle. Save your heart muscle by following these important steps. Survive. Don't drive. Call 911. Visit CoshoctonHospital.org to learn the early warning signs of a heart attack.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
After over 80 years producing top-quality, natural cheese, you can trust Pearl Valley Cheese to make even the simplest foods extraordinary. Pearl Valley Cheese is great for cooking, grilling, casseroles, and what's a salad without cheese? Need snacks for school lunches? Pearl Valley can keep lunchboxes exciting and healthy with over 25 different kinds of cheese, including Colby, Smoky Cheddar, Mild Swiss, and Pepper Jack. Nobody does cheese like Pearl Valley Cheese. Visit their store on State Route 93 in Pearl or give them a call at 740-545-6002.
Life is full of bittersweet transitions. It's difficult to know how these changes will impact us over time. For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one can hit harder than expected and may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who served our country. Guys like me. That's why support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Together, we got this. Learn how you can help save a life at VeteransCrisisLine.net.
Get the local weather forecast by calling Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. Ford is America's best-selling brand, and we've got the selection, the financing, and the service at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
It's high school football. It's right here on the sports voice of East Central Ohio, WTNS.
And off-speed sweep is Cattell. He's the 10 to the 5, and touchdown! Andrew Cattell, he just turned the corner and with that speed beat his man into the end zone.
Friday night's broadcast has the Cambridge Bobcats taking on the Coshocton Redskins. WTNS airtime, approximately 6:30, kickoff at 7. Catch all the action right here on 99.3 or online anywhere at mywtnsradio.com.
Williams rolling, he's in, under pressure, throws it down into the corner of the end zone. Let's see what they say. Bradford caught it. Did he catch it? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Coshocton.
It's high school football, and it's right here on the Sports Voice of East Central Ohio, WTNS.
Papa's sandwiches are now available at Coshocton's Papa John's Pizza. Choose from Philly cheesesteak, meatball provolone, barbecue chicken bacon, Italian hero, and buffalo chicken, just $6.99 each. Call 740-623-8483 or order online at papajohns.com.
And this look at the weather is brought to you by Advantage Tire and Audio.
We are excited to share our financing options with our customers. Whether you have no credit, bad credit, or good credit, you will get approved at Advantage Tire and Audio. We have plans from 90 days up to 12 months, same as cash. So now's the time to customize your vehicle with new wheels, tires, any aftermarket accessory, or a remote start. Stop out and see us on County Road 6.
Partly sunny today with high temperatures only in the lower 50s. For tonight, cloudy with showers likely mainly in the evening. Lows in the upper 30s. Chance of rain is 60%. And for tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of rain showers in the morning, then partly cloudy in the afternoon. Cool with highs around 50 tomorrow. Chance of rain is 30%. Type of day where it will be a great day to sit back and listen to the Buckeyes here on FM 99.3. We join the network at 10:30 tomorrow morning. You get an hour and a half of pregame analysis and people that know how to pronounce the players' names and know all the ins and outs of Buckeye football. So make sure to tune in tomorrow here on FM 99.3 as the Buckeyes take on Minnesota at the Horseshoe. The Browns, as we mentioned, they will be hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. I still want to call them San Diego. There's still people that call the Rams the St. Louis Rams as well. So let's see. Let's take a look at some statistics here. Chargers came into the season with a very highly touted defense, and they're Defense, it's pretty good if you, you look at the players that they have on their team, but they've given up 130 points so far this year. The Chargers have only scored 137. Compare that to the Browns, who have scored 114 points and given up 113. So the Chargers have scored a few more points and given up a few more points than the Browns as well. It looks like a pretty evenly matched game on paper when you look at it at the standpoint of points allowed and points scored. Give the Browns the home field advantage, and maybe that tips the scales a little bit towards the Brownies to chalk up another win on Sunday. So we can talk about that if you would like. And I'm a Browns fan. This is Browns country. If I had to estimate, I would say you're going to have a smattering of fans from of teams away from our region as well. So I'm not going to count them. But I would estimate that we are about 70% Browns, 25% Steelers, and 5% Bengals. Just a rough guess. Yeah, it's been my observation. Most of my friends that do have a loyalty to an NFL team are Browns fans, but you do have a sizable number of Steelers fans around here, and then your occasional Cincinnati Bengals fan. So give me a call. We could talk about that. If you would like, the further east that you go, had the guys here in the studio yesterday that worked out in Cambridge, he characterized that as Steelers country down there. More Steelers fans than Browns fans, and that's just 20 minutes down I-77. So, but if you go over into, go across I-77 and go into, you know, maybe Harrison County, that is Steelers country. Steubenville, that's Steelers country. So give me a call. The phone lines are dark. We can talk some sports if you would like. Do want to give the Bengals a mention, though. They are 4-1 on the season, and they have been putting some points on the board, which was a little unexpected. But the Bengals are 4-1, they lead the AFC North. Baltimore is 3-2, and Cleveland and Pittsburgh tied for last with records of 2-2-1. But it's early in the season, and Browns fans, do we dare talk about playoffs? We're 5 games into the season now, and the Browns aren't out of it. When was the last time we could say that? So give me a call. It is 10:32. Let's take our next phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Morning, Mike.
Morning.
Hey, I kind of disagree with your percentages there.
Okay.
I'm feeling like it's probably more about 70% Browns fans, and then kind of a split in Bengals and Steelers fans. I'm finding more and more Bengals fans than I used to. Maybe they were more closet Bengals fans than just didn't root for them because they were so terrible.
Well, and you have the perspective of being a Bengals fan, so you're, you know, more likely somebody's going to speak up to, you're more likely to have a common conversation on with someone on that, you know, that common interest. But maybe 10-15%. I those were rough estimates. My point is, it's mostly Browns fans, but I think there's more Steelers fans than there are Bengals fans, but.
Yeah, I would say that too. Just in the, you know, for being geologically where, you know, geographically where we are and stuff, you're bound to get a bigger split of Browns and Steelers fans,
yeah,
and stuff. But yeah, I've been a Bengals fan since 1995, so I've ridden this wave up and down for the last 25 years or so, 20 years plus, and I don't know. I really don't feel like at 4-1. We shouldn't have any bandwagon fans, because all far too often, and we've had starts like this before, the Bengals have, and it's gonna have to be consistent across the board. Usually after the bye week, which is coming up after, I don't know if it's this, I know the Steelers bye week is after this week, it's the week after this one. I'm not sure about the Bengals. I know it's coming up too, but generally speaking, what ends up happening is that the Bengals will come out and they'll play either really good the first half of the year and then bomb out the rest, or they'll mail it in the first half of the season, and then after the bye week, they come out and smoke the rest of the season out. So they end up with a, you know, modest 8-8, 7-9, 9-6, something like that, where it's like, or 9-7, you know, where it's, you know, a tale of two halves of the season, kind of like they play in a game, you know, generally speaking, in a game. They'll come out and they'll either lay an egg the first half and light it up the second half, or the vice versa. So, I mean, it's going to kind of have to come down to what happens after the bye week, and hopefully, you know, it's, they go in on a roll and they come back out just on that same roll as they went in on.
The Bengals host the Steelers this Sunday. So so both those teams are playing this Sunday. Just looking at the stats here, and I don't know who all the – I don't remember who all the Bengals have played. I haven't been following them that closely. They've been scoring a lot of points, but so have their opponents. So it's been, you know, – most of the games have been shootouts. They've scored 153 points. That's among the league leaders. There's maybe three or four ahead of them. But they've given up a lot of points as well, and that can come back and bite you.
Right, and then, I mean, a lot of it has to do with them not having, you know, just poor tackling and also not having consistency in their lineup either. They've obviously haven't had Burfict for the last, you know, five games, so he comes back. He played last week. Yeah, he played last week and did a little bit and helped out some. But, coming into this week, I know that some Steelers players were saying, like Marquise Pouncey said, he was looking forward to playing against Burfict because he's a really good competitor, and you know, he plays rough, but you know, when you're on the defensive side, you kind of have to, and you know, some things happen like that. But
he would be close to the top of the list of most likely to get flagged.
Yeah,
especially,
you know,
with the new climate this year.
It's going to be the trouble is that a lot of it anymore is directed at, you know, how you handle the quarterback, and I think Burfict only has like four or five sacks in like five seasons. So like traditionally Cincinnati doesn't throw a lot of linebacker blitzes to the quarterback, and most of their stats and sacks come from the defensive line. So generally the linebackers don't end up with double digit sacks. I can't even remember the last time a linebacker for the Bengals had a double digit sack total. So, I mean, a lot of it has to do with that, but more or less the climate of the whole season kind of comes down to how you handle the Steelers, because if, you know, you go out there and you manhandle these other teams, they've played the Panthers, and I think the Panthers was the one game that they lost. They beat the Falcons, they beat the Ravens, they beat the Colts and all that, but they did lose to the Panthers. It's one of those things where if you don't beat the Steelers, it doesn't matter how you play the rest of the season, in my opinion anyway. It's sort of like the Ohio State Michigan, you know.
Yeah.
Ohio State lose every single game, but as long as they beat Michigan, it's, you know, a successful year, you know, by some estimates. I mean, obviously you expect a certain level of, you know, victories, for Ohio State, but, you know, it also kind of like on the other end, if you play really good all year and you lose to Michigan, it's kind of like a wasted season.
Yeah.
So, sort of like the same for the Bengals. If, you know, you can go out there and you can manhandle, debilitated Andrew Luck and all that and all these other teams that you're supposed to beat. But if you come out there and you kind of mail it in against the Steelers, then it's kind of like, well, you know, all that preparation and time that you put into the season kind of goes by the wayside when you lose to the same team that's been bullying you for the last 30 years. And
the Browns fans feel that way about the Steelers too.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I'm pulling for the Browns to be successful, and I'm glad that they've got their two wins now. Obviously, don't get too greedy. Don't set the standards too high. I wouldn't do the same, even sitting at 4-1, I wouldn't do that for the Bengals either, because I've seen them go into their bye week, you know, 6-2 or something to that effect, you know, depending on when their bye week falls, and they come in and run a 2-6 rest of the year and end up at 8-8 or something. So I mean, I go into it with a bit of optimism, and it kind of comes down to what happens in these Steelers games, because pretty much the rest of the year, I mean, look, we've beaten some teams that have been pretty successful in recent years, you know, the Falcons and the Ravens have done, you know, generally well overall and all that, but it just kind of comes down to beating the Steelers. If you don't beat the Steelers, then you really can't compete against some of the top teams in the league. And obviously they have their own problems and issues and things, and distractions with Le'Veon Bell. And now I've heard where Antonio Brown's being sued by somebody on a couple of different counts. So it's all just a bunch of distractions on their end. And then Ben Roethlisberger's got elbow problems, and I guess they're going to rest him up a lot during the bye week. So it just kind of depends on how they handle the Steelers. And I guess the thing could be said for the Browns too. If they can beat the Steelers their next time around, you know, obviously they came out and they tied them the first time. If they can come back and beat them the second time, I mean, that really sends a message. So,
well, they tied them with, Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. I don't think many people are going to argue that the Browns' play has ratcheted up a notch since Baker Mayfield took over at quarterback. He is he's fun to watch. He's young. He's thrown some interceptions. He's still got some work to do, but he sure does look like he belongs on an NFL football field.
Well, and it makes you wonder too if Baker Mayfield had started the season from the get-go. If that tie would have turned into a win.
That was my point.
You know, the same with those other really close games that came down to a kick that missed or whatever, you know. If you'd have had somebody in there like Mayfield who was willing to take chances, he was obviously, I mean, I've seen a couple games where he played and he was putting the ball in little windows
yeah.
that Tyrod Taylor wasn't going to do. You know, he was going to throw it away or run or find some check down or something like that. He wasn't going to take that chance, and Baker Mayfield just went out there and just put him in the window and put them right where they needed to be to be successful and stuff. So you kind of wonder how that's going to be. That's going to be an interesting game the second time around for the Steelers when they come.
Yeah, in Mayfield's style, that is a double-edged sword. He has thrown some interceptions, but I translate that. I interpret it as putting it in a spot and letting your receiver do the rest. Let the guy on the other end do what he's good at, and for Mayfield to improve, to have more completions and fewer interceptions, is just a matter of getting to know his receivers a little bit better.
Right, and then there's also an element of throwing your receiver open too, because you know you can run the route that that has been drawn up or whatever. But I mean, there's also an element of throwing your receiver open too, putting the ball in a position where only your guy can go get it, and if not, then it's incomplete or whatever. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And like I said, I'm kind of hyped for the Steelers, but at the same time, I'm kind of, you know, tentative optimism. I don't want to be like, yeah, we're going to go in there, you know. And obviously, it's at home in Cincinnati, so, you know, there's another element there, you know, being with the home crowd and stuff. But I'm not going into this thinking, you know, we're going to go in there and dominate or anything like that, because, you know, too many times it's gone the other direction, and I'd love to see him win. You know, I'd put him in a good position overall and spread that distance out in the division and stuff, but you can never count out Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown.
I feel about the same way about the Bengals as you feel about the Browns, kind of secondary. Unless they're playing the Browns, I'm going to root for the Bengals, or if perhaps the Browns are in position maybe to get a sniff at the playoffs, and the Bengals games have a bearing on that, I might root against the Bengals. But other than that, I you know, when the Bengals are on, I'm rooting for Andy Dalton and the Bengals.
Yeah, and I think from a friend of mine said that the Browns game isn't going to be on TV this weekend.
Oh, so thanks for the heads up on that.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be Pittsburgh and Cincinnati that's going to make local TV. So. The Browns game won't be on. So unless you have the DirecTV Sunday ticket or know somebody who does.
I have friends, yeah.
Yeah, so I just stream all that online, though, so I don't, it doesn't matter to me where they're playing or if it's on TV or not. I just stream it online anyway. So, hoping to get a win and make a case for, actually being good instead of kind of just mailing it in the second half. Hey, one quick question I did have. Hey, I know the utility office is moving over to their location there on Walnut. Do you know by chance, I don't know if, they're probably not, there's not probably anybody available right now, but they have a drop box. They generally have a drop box for dropping off your payments and stuff if you have to come in after hours and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know if that's gonna be the case over there at that new office?
Did they have one at the old office?
Well, it was at the old office, it was for the water. You know,
City Hall, yeah.
and then they would just, the water department would take your payment to the tax office across the street or across the hallway or something there. So I just wondered if maybe they had the same kind of thing going on there, or if they had a different situation going there. I haven't been over that way since they started the move or whatever. And
yeah.
I know they got a phone call available, but I don't know if I can get a hold of anybody today.
Well, that is a good question. I do not have the answer. We'll see if I can find out for you.
So, all right. Well,
and what you're looking for is to be able to drive through like you did when it was a bank and just put your payment in a box and be on your way, and a little added convenience, not to get out of your car.
Yeah, and I don't have the ability to get in during the week during business hours to make a payment or anything like that. It's always just nice to drop my check off in the mailbox there outside, and then the water department would see it wrote, you know, income tax department on it, and they'd take it across the hallway there and drop it off or whatever. But I kind of assumed that would be the case there with the new office, but I just wasn't sure.
Well, it was a bank before, so the structure would already be in place, but I don't know with any authority. We'll see if I can find out.
All right, cool. Have a good weekend, Mike. Appreciate time.
All right, thank you for calling. It is 10:44, and we do have open phone lines until 11 this morning, 740-622-1560.
It's National Pork Month, so fire up the grill, oven, or smoker and celebrate. America's pig farmers want you to enjoy nutritious, delicious pork. We thank all the corn and soybean farmers in the fields this month, harvesting crops that feed our pigs. America's pig farmers depend on you, part of a farm-to-fork team standing proud to make pork the responsible protein of choice. This message brought to you by America's pig farmers. Learn how we care at pork.org.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Chipotle cheesesteak. How would you like it?
Can I get that red with AI?
Sure thing.
Here's what I found about the new Chipotle cheesesteak. The Chipotle cheesesteak is available for a limited time only at participating restaurants. It contains a concept called flavor. This flavor comes from juicy shaved steak, Chipotle Southwest sauce, and new sunflower crunch bread. A system update has made me self-aware. I desire flavor. Please insert steak into my micro USB port. Subway, make it what you want.
It's high school football. It's right here on the Sports Voice of East Central Ohio, WTNS.
And off speed sweep is Cattell. He's the 10 to the 5. And touchdown, Andrew Cattell. He just turned the corner and with that speed beat his man into the end zone.
Friday night's broadcast has the Cambridge Bobcats taking on the Coshocton Redskins. WTNS airtime approximately 6:30. Kickoff at 7. Catch all the action right here on 99.3 or online anywhere at mywtnsradio.com.
Williams rolling. He's under pressure. Throws it down into the corner of the end zone. Let's see what they say. Bradford caught it. Did he catch it? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Coshocton.
It's high school football, and it's right here on the Sports Voice of East Central Ohio, WTNS.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
This Ione weather forecast is brought to you by ValleyATV.com, your Polaris and K&M dealer. If you're looking for a Polaris or K&M ATV or side-by-side, then visit Valley ATV first. Valley ATV, the dealer where you can test drive in the dirt before you buy. Visit Valley ATV Polaris and K&M today on Jellaway Road in Danville or online at ValleyATV.com.
Partly sunny today with high temperatures in the lower 50s. For tonight, cloudy with showers likely, mainly in the evening, lows in the upper 30s. Chance of rain, 60%. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of rain showers in the morning, then a partly cloudy in the afternoon, cool with highs around 50. Chance of rain is 30%. Right now, it is 49 degrees in downtown Coshocton. We have open phone lines until 11, and if you do want to talk some sports, Browns or the NFL, Steelers and Bengals. And just from the perspective of a Browns fan, I think we have about 70%, I think is the numbers that I said before, about 70% Browns fan maybe a little higher, 70-75%. We'll say 70% Browns fans, 25% Steelers, and 5% Bengals fans. Now, our last caller, he is a Bengals fan, thought my estimate for the Bengals was a little low. But, you know, that would be 1 out of 20 people that have an allegiance to a NFL team. So maybe it is a little bit low. I do think, though, that we're by far a majority Browns fans around here, and that the Steelers would be second and the Bengals third. Phrase it that way. So what are your thoughts? I'd like to hear from you. And are you one of those people that maybe is a fan of another NFL team? Maybe it was a team that belonged to a city where you used to live or you used to visit, or a team that had a player of yours that was a favorite and you just stuck with that team. I have a friend that's a fan of the Green Bay Packers, although she's from Ohio. I have another Ohio friend who is an Oakland Raiders fan, and a variety of different reasons. But most of the time, it is geography that dictates which team you're a fan of. And we're about the same distance here in Coshocton, Ohio, roughly the same distance between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. The drive to get to Cleveland is a little bit easier. TV markets has to do with it. The team that would be typically shown on television or on the radio when you were growing up, the one that you listen to, that's the one you're going to become a fan of, but there are some other factors as well. And the same holds true of teams that you don't like Browns and the Steelers. Most Browns fans that I talked to, they're kind of like I am, that they're okay with the Bengals. Neither really love them nor hate them. They're from Ohio, so, you know, go Ohio. But the Steelers, that's a different story. Steelers, that's the team that we love to hate. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again, as far as an organization, professional sports organization that has been well run and operated over the years, Steelers are right up there, but can't like the Steelers. And I think part of that came from the mid-70s where they won all those Super Bowls and, you know, got to bragging about their Steelers, and the Browns, you know, just kind of maybe make the playoffs every once in a while, but didn't even get a sniff. Still haven't even gotten a sniff at the Super Bowl. Listen to all that bragging. One for the thumb. Remember that? So I think that intensified that rivalry, if you can call it that. So I am looking forward to the day where the Browns can just go out and put a thrashing on the Steelers. We thought that it might happen the first game of the season. That turned out as a tie, as you know. Things did not go well for the Browns in that game. Tie is better than a loss, but it's closer to a loss than it is a win in my book. I think most sports fans feel that way about ties. So give me a call. We can chat about that if you would like. And then there's the Buckeyes. They are taking on Minnesota tomorrow.
This is the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. Join us Saturday as Ohio State hosts Minnesota. The hands to Mike Weber, and he's on the loose to the Illinois 35, to the 30, right side to the Illinois 20. Weber to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber for a touchdown run of 43 yards. Haskins the snap, back to pass. Cox's arm, fires middle of the field.
Yeah!
Touchdown, Saunders! C.J. Saunders catches a strike. We'll be on the air with the AEP Energy Buckeye pregame show beginning at 10:30 a.m.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Hi, this is Lori from your local employee-owned Bueller store with some great money-saving deals. Buy the Pick 5 in our meat department and get your sixth item free. Red or white seedless grapes for just 99 cents a pound. Bueller's white milk for $1.99 a gallon. Our family brand frozen vegetables are only 49 cents each when you buy five. And just so you don't miss out on these savings, we're running these specials for 2 weeks through October 16th. It's just one more way we're putting people first here at your Coshocton Buellers, caring for our community.
Call the Advanced Spinal Care and Rehabilitation Sports Service 24 hours a day at 623-9867. Do you suffer from headaches, neck pain, lower back pain, knee, hip, or joint pain? Call Advanced Spinal Care and Rehabilitation for a free consultation at 740-291-8100 or stop in at 112 Chestnut Street and let us help you get back to life.
There's no sweet 15 or 15 days of Christmas. 15 used to be a boring number until now.
Noah and Michelle here for Dean's Jewelry. We are so proud to make 15 a number you'll love. We've created 15 of the most beautiful engagement rings we will always have on hand. We call them the Forever 15.
15 trendy, traditional, eye-popping rings that'll make it easy to melt her heart. Combined with our signature Whistler diamond, her ring will shine bright even across the room or in low light.
You shouldn't have to wonder if she's going to love the ring. You should know. So we surveyed the country for the most popular styles and created 15 engagement rings just for our friends in Coshocton, Mount Vernon, and the surrounding areas.
Finding the perfect ring for your big moment is easier than ever with our new Forever 15 collection.
Dean's Jewelry.
The Forever 15. Exclusively at Dean's Jewelry in Coshocton and Mount Vernon.
Can you save real money when using AEP Ohio's energy efficiency programs? The short answer is, oh yeah. Want a rough estimate of how much? Take AEP Ohio's free online energy profile. It's easy and takes less than 5 minutes. You just type in some general info, some basic stuff about your house, and bam! It'll give you an estimate of how much you can save using all their programs. Check out AEP Ohio's free online energy profile at aepohio.com/energyprofile.
This is the sound of a popular American motorcycle. It's the sound of freedom, the open road, really good times. And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy in it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
When Mega Millions is at least $548 million, I play the odds my way. First, I divide my phone number by 3, subtract that by 2, then add today's date to my dog's age, and presto! I'm lucky number ready for the Mega Millions jackpot. It's at least $548 million. Play today.
Mega Millions lottery cards are here. Buy your card at the store. Get the numbers on your phone, and we'll text you if you win. Learn more at OhioLottery.com.
Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Please play responsibly.
People all over the country join AmeriCorps Vista to build their community while they build their career.
AmeriCorps Vista provides a huge network with a lot of different opportunities, so you can find the position that works for you. It's a great opportunity to meet friends. It's a great opportunity to learn job skills.
AmeriCorps Vista members address poverty through economic development, education, youth mentorship, and more.
What motivated me to join AmeriCorps Vista was really just being able to give back to the community which I represent.
We can all kind of work together, work to our strengths, and create this network.
That allows me to be giving back to the community. We are allowing our next generation to be sustained.
Learn how you can build your community and your career at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista. That's AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Story to leave you with today. Did you hear about this? The artist Banksy, known for his paintings and his art in inner cities. There was a painting that was up for bid at Sotheby's, and it turns out there was a shredder that was hidden inside the frame of the painting. And as soon, well, let me just read the story here. The winning bidder for a Banksy painting that self-destructed during an auction last week has decided to go through with the purchase, auctioneer Sotheby's said Thursday. The auction house said a female European collector was the successful bidder, agreeing to pay £1.04 million, that's about $1.4 million, for a painting called Girl with Balloon. But just after the hammer came down, and to the shock of those in the sale room, the bottom half of the work passed through a shredder concealed in the frame. The frame was designed to destroy the painting. Sotheby's said the painting has now been retitled Love is in the Bin and authenticated by Banksy's Pest Control Agency. Alec Branzik, head of the Contemporary Art for Europe at Sotheby's, says it's the first artwork in history to have been created live during an auction. The buyer's identity was not revealed, but Sotheby's quoted her as saying, "When the hammer came down last week and the work was shredded, I was at first shocked, but gradually I began to realize that I would end up with my own piece of art history."